Welcome to Immunize Wisely on the Republic Broadcasting Network. My name is Ingrid Castle. I'm your host, and my websites are Vaccination Liberation, and I'm the director of Vaccination Liberation, sorry, but the website is VAC, short for Vaccination, LIB, short for Liberation.org, so that's VacLib.org, but you can get there by going to VaccineTruth.com. And I have another website where I sell products that help boost immunity. That's humbleweed.net. And I wanted to just remind people that we do have a chat room, and it's called Immunize Wisely. That's Wisely with a Z, stylized to be like immunize. And so immunizewisely.chatandgo.com. And thank you to Mer Bailey for hosting our chat room. I really appreciate it. In that chat room, you'll find links that to websites and information that we'll be discussing. And I actually have two guests tonight. The first hour is going to be Sally Fallon Morrell, and the second hour will be the previous host, Sally L. Cordy. And if you did not listen to Vaccine Free America with Sandy Leneux, her guest, just previous to the show, I would encourage you to go to the archives. It was very, very important show about the vaccine they're planning for us as a result of what I call the police state virus. But anyway, so without any further ado, if people do not know who Sally Fallon Morrell is, I will tell you. She is the founding president of the Weston A. Price Foundation, a nonprofit nutrition education foundation dedicated to returning nutrient-dense food to American tables. She's also the founder of a campaign for real milk at realmilk.com, and which has as its goal universal access to clean raw milk from pasture-fed animals. She's also the author of the best-selling cookbook, Nourishing Traditions. Her co-author is Mary Enig, or PhD, and she has a couple other books. She has actually a lot of great information at Nourishing Traditions .com. That's where she has her blog, nourishingtraditions.com. And she is also the owner with her husband Jeffrey of PA Bowen Farmstead in Southern Maryland, where they produce raw cheese and milk from pastured cows, Woodlands whey-fed pork, and grass-fed poultry and eggs. So, but we're going to be discussing her latest blog post, which I will post in the chat room, nourishingtraditions.com. And she asked the question, is coronavirus contagious? And I was so pleased to have someone forward this to me. I just ate it up. It was literally one of the happiest days of my life. I'm very serious, Sally. I was like, wow, someone like Sally is getting the picture here of the fallacy of not just the germ theory of disease, but the virus theory.
Yes, right,
so,
right.
Very important. So welcome to Immunize Wisely, Sally. Thank you so much for coming on in such a last-minute notice.
Thank you for having me. Yes, that blog, I have a little blog. I mean, not a lot of people on it, but this particular one really hit a chord and kind of got spread all over, which is good.
Yeah, it is very good. I do want to encourage, before we even, you know, since we just have an hour, I do want to mention that if you are not a member of Weston A. Price Foundation, you actually really should be. I mean, I get so much value. It's the best $40 you'll ever spend. I mean, you get four quarterly journals that are like books, each one, and you get so many other benefits. You should just go to Weston A. Price Foundation. I mean, I'm sorry, Weston A. Price, westonaprice.org, but that's their website. And I just upped my subscription. I wanted to make sure, you know, you had my new address. And I want to highlight, too, that one of the very best articles I found, and you're such a good writer, Sally, is Dietary Support for the Alcoholic. I mean, that was the most comprehensive, amazing article. And that is such an epidemic now, you know, alcoholism, yes, especially yes. among young people, and then it hits them when they're older and they need to come off it. And, you know, so, and I love the story right at the very beginning of Bill Wilson, who wanted yes. To add nutritional therapy to the AA protocols because, you know, hey, they're having donuts and coffee and it's
yes,
adding and,
to the problem. Yeah. And he was turned down by his board. So,
I know. So sad.
I think it's, you know, the last thing mainstream organizations, even AA, want to do is tell people to change their diet. It's a subject that's more sensitive than sex or money. And people bristle at the idea that they have to make changes in their lifestyle in order to be healthy, and especially changes in their diet. Because let's face it, the American diet is very addictive. It actually has addictive substances in it. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with any illness, including this COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Diet makes a huge difference in how you can resist what, you know, the strength of your immune system, whatever the cause, mm-hmm. whether it's a virus, which I don't think it is, or it's 5G, which I'm arguing that it is, the diet just makes such a difference. And I think we need to always look at the bright side of life. I'm the eternal optimist. And uh-huh. and this thing that's going on now, the bright side is that a lot of people are saying, you know, how have I been eating? Has this affected my vulnerability to disease?
Right.
And it's actually forced people to cook, you know, go home and cook.
Which I think is pretty important, you know, frankly.
Not a bad thing, yes, right.
Right. Thankfully, I grew up with a mother who did cook from scratch, so yes. and it was passed on to my daughter, so I'm very thankful for that modeling, but not everyone has had that.
Yeah, I say the same thing. As rocky as my relationship with my parents was, my mother was a wonderful cook, and my father loved her cooking, and we had dinner every night of real food. And I think that and we always had butter. She would never use margarine. She just thought that was kind of vulgar. Right. And so I got a very good start, not only, I think, health-wise, but also just the example of cooking every meal for your family.
Right. Wow. So let's go right into your blog post, Is Coronavirus Contagious? Because, you know, I have to admit, I own the book that you were referring to, The Invisible Rainbow,
yeah.
and I was so in the, you know, thick of my move, I read about the first 20 pages and a lot of the stuff that you had cited, and then I put the book down and I lent it to someone else in our group, you know. I mean, I was like, you know, I've got to get out of here, you know. So I was so glad you brought up that excellent book because it's so important. So do you want to go ahead and highlight some of
yes, and let me say at the outset that I don't agree with everything in that book. His dietary suggestions to be on a low-fat diet, I think, is actually the opposite of what we need to be able to resist all this electrical you know, these electrical problems. So anyway, his thesis is that with every step towards greater electrification of the earth, starting with the telegraph in the late 1800s, then the electricity in radar. And then with every subsequent addition, such as you know, big radio towers or whatever, we've always had an outbreak of disease. And of course, the most obvious one was the Spanish flu of 1918-1819, which corresponded with the erection of huge radio towers all over the earth. And soldiers on military bases were particularly vulnerable, I think, for two reasons. One is that the big radio towers were there, and secondly, because they'd all been vaccinated with experimental vaccines. But this flu occurred everywhere on the planet, not just in people who'd been vaccinated. I think that's very important to stress.
Right.
And so the people of the U.S. Public Health Service wanted to prove that this was contagious, that it was some kind of organism that was causing this flu. Mm-hmm. And it's actually very funny to read, because first they took what they delicately call the mucus secretions, so that's from the throat, and the snot from the nose and from the tears and everything, and they sprayed it into the throats and the nose of volunteers, healthy volunteers, and not one of these 100 healthy volunteers got sick. So then they took the blood of the sick people and injected it into the healthy volunteers, and they did not get sick. You can, when you read this report, you can sense the growing levels of frustration. So then they said, well, this, we know that this is communicated person to person. So they took sick people, they took healthy volunteers, and they went to the bedside of the sick people, and they shook hands, and they talked. And then the sick people took a deep breath and blew into the mouths and noses of the healthy volunteers. It's all described in this article. Not one person got sick. So this flu was not contagious. It was caused by something else that was affecting a lot of people. And the best explanation, the one that covers the fact that people all over the world got sick, it wasn't just in America, was the fact that they put up these huge radio towers all over the earth. So, yes. Yeah, so, and of course, it looks like it's contagious because a lot of people are getting it at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
well, you know what? Yeah. I have to just insert here, because some of my research was, Bayer aspirin. They didn't know how much to give, and they were at that. So that went all over the planet, too, leading to all the hemorrhaging, the liver and the hemorrhaging at the lungs. I think that also contributed.
Oh, absolutely. But again, this flu was everywhere, and they weren't giving aspirin everywhere. So they were giving aspirin in the United States and Europe, maybe. But they gave way too much, so people hemorrhaged very easily. It seemed like the blood would not coagulate. Correct. So you got a lot of things going on, and I think that's true of any outbreak. You might have some kind of electrical disturbance, and then that's coupled with a poor diet or exposure to vaccines or whatever. I've just been writing something about the plague. So you're going back to the plague of Justinian, 541 BC, AD, and then you had the Plague of Athens, and then you had the Black Death. Every one of those was preceded by some kind of heavenly event, usually a comet. Mm-hmm. Now, what we know about comets is, what we've learned is really interesting. Comets are not just dirty snowballs. They are very electrically active, charged asteroids going in an elliptical orbit. And when they orbit, when they get close to the sun, they just give off these streams of electric charge. And they also emit X-rays, very powerful X-rays. And when they get close to the sun kind of comes out to meet it. And there's these plumes from the sun that are attracted to the comet. So you have a very high electrical disturbance in the atmosphere. And that's why the ancients were so afraid of comets. They knew that they presaged famine, illness, and even war. People acted differently. They became agitated, depressed, and they got terribly sick. that you had famines. It affected the plants. It affected the birds.
Mm-hmm.
So these, you know, and it's always blamed on some microbe. But mm-hmm. the best explanation is these electric disturbances in the atmosphere. Because after all, we are electrical beings. We have currents in our body that makes everything happen. So, of course, we'll be affected by this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think all the electrical disturbances, of course, is going to, you know, because we are electrical beings, you know, we have, you know, our endocrine system, our, you know, acupuncture, it all ties in.
Right. And acupuncture is, you know, that's what it does. It gets rid of excess current in the body,
right.
Dirty electricity in the body, so to speak. That's what acupuncture does.
Hmm.
You know, it's interesting that neither Chinese medicine nor Ayurvedic medicine have any concept of contagion. It never mm-hmm. comes into it in these systems. It's always some kind of influence or poison or bad diet.
Exactly. In fact, we've highlighted on the show several times, you know, the root word of virus, viri, is from the Latin, and it literally means slime, venom, you know,
yeah,
poison.
Evil. Yes, poison, yeah, right.
So it's interesting how you started, you know, exploring, you know, the whole contagion theory of this coronavirus, and then got into Dr. Andrew Kaufman's work.
Yes.
And so I thought maybe we'd just, you know, go into that, because virus really is the wrong term, and they are looking at this stuff not as in a living being. I mean, this is, you know, dead tissue they're looking at and making some, you know,
yeah,
hypotheses about it.
Yes.
Right. So this is all really a big experiment. They are still so much in their infancy, especially from what we learned from the Human Microbiome Project. So,
right. Remember when bacteria were bad? Remember?
Yes, exactly.
And we were, our digestive tracts were sterile, and we got attacked by bacteria, and that's what made us sick. And that was the reigning paradigm until about 20 years ago. And we live in very interesting times, because we've seen that paradigm completely turn around. And now we know that bacteria are our friends, and a healthy mm-hmm. body has about 6 pounds of bacteria in the gut and on the skin. And without those bacteria, we'd be dead. Now, under some conditions, such as anaerobic conditions, the bacteria can give off lactic acid or other things that can be toxic in certain situations. So, you know, but it's the terrain, it's not the bacteria. So mm-hmm. now because we kind of learned that bacteria are not so bad after all, what I see is everyone changing their focus to viruses. And nothing is more interesting than the discussions about the Black Death, which was blamed on bacteria. And now the latest thinking is it's caused by a virus. So if you can't blame the bacteria, you blame the virus.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's always something, it's always a boogeyman. To me, you know, mature people don't go out there and start, you know, blaming something outside of themselves. Although we do are exposed to environmental toxins, for sure. But our bodies are constantly in a healing mode. They're trying to bring our bodies back into balance in the face of a lot of stress, onslaughts of poor diet.
Whatever. Right, yeah. Right, mm-hmm. right. So that gets us to the subject of exosomes. And those are the wonderful lectures of Dr. Kaufman.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find those on the internet. Just look up Kaufman and exosomes. And he describes what an exosome looks like. It is exactly the same size as a virus. It looks like a virus. It attaches to the same, you know, receptors as a virus. What? Well, it is a virus, you know. So you've got one.
Okay, we'll Sally, we are coming on a break. Just hold that thought.
Okay.
Stay tuned. You're listening to Sally Fallon Morrell on Immunize Wisely.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Immunize Wisely. Sally, we were just talking a little bit more about the whole idea of
exosomes.
Yes. Exosomes. Is that how you say it? Exosomes?
Exosomes, yeah. So anyway, these talks by Andrew Kaufman are so interesting. And anyway, you've got one group of scientists studying exosomes and another group of scientists studying viruses. And these are the same thing. They're identical. Exosomes are viruses. And the virus people think these exosomes come from the outside and make you sick. But the exosomes people, including Dr. Kaufman, show very convincingly that the cell is what creates these so-called viruses. They form in the cell to encapsulate toxins, and then the cell kind of pushes them out. He actually shows a picture of these little dots of toxin that are being eaten up by the exosomes. So right, just right. Like the bacteria, we're suddenly discovering that viruses are our friend. They not only take toxins out of our cells, but they also communicate to other cells what's going on. Hey, get ready for this toxin. Or even to other people. Hey, you know, you've got this bad influence coming. Or these toxins coming, you got to get ready for it. And it's interesting that certain things make the cells create more exosomes. One is cancer, And these exosomes are trying to get rid of the toxins, trying to communicate with other cells. So they're trying to help you. And the other one is antibiotics. Your body will excrete a lot of exosomes if you're given antibiotics. Don't know the mechanism for this, but this may explain why the antibiotics seem to be effective in certain cases. But here we've got these little tiny objects, which, you know, we immediately assume are bad for us, are contagious, cause all these terrible diseases. And, when in fact they're actually helpful. And that brings us smack into this whole notion of vaccinations that are supposed to give us immunity to viruses. Well, why would you want to have immunity to something that protects you?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when they start giving antivirals, that's a pretty scary thing too.
Exactly.
So I wanted you to mention that too.
When they give people these antivirals, they get sicker. And I think that's why they tried to switch to these other drugs, because the antivirals were simply not working. Now, it's really interesting to read about the symptoms of people who have this illness. They describe it as viral pneumonia, but in fact, it's more like high altitude sickness. People are gasping for air. They have very low oxygen levels in their bloodstream, very high ferritin levels. And this is kind of what you'd expect with exposure to a lot of electricity and electromagnetic fields. You're going to have a disruption of your blood cells, because the blood cells contain iron and they're magnetic. So you definitely don't want to expose your body to this kind of influence any more than it would want to get from, you know, the atmosphere or whatever, which your body's used to.
Right. Yeah. And then, yeah, so blaming something like this for causing the disease, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, how long will it take us to learn this?
It took a couple hundred years from the discovery of bacteria to figure out they were good for us. So I hope it doesn't take that long for the viruses. And I don't think it will. I think people are catching up. There's been tremendous interest in Dr. Kaufman's interviews or presentations. So I think change much more rapidly these days.
Well, plus it gets us beyond the military model. You know, we're pretty much tired of the war mentality that's been transferred. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the war on drugs, the war on obesity, and then, you know, these, I have a illustration that Wallene James used to use in her lectures, and it's from, you know, Newsweek or the Time magazine, that illustrates your immune system. And it's literally with tanks and,
right.
You know, guns, you know, these white cells or, you know, I mean, it's all military languaging. And we need to move beyond that, our bodies are not based on a military model whatsoever, and that many of these viruses and bacteria are pleomorphic or form-changing, as we had discussed last week.
In fact, apparently the viruses play a role in that pleomorphism of the cells in your body and of bacteria.
Uh-huh.
Because we know that the bacteria change depending on the conditions, the background.
Right.
And I think we could surmise that these viruses, these exosomes, are communicating certain things. Hey, this has changed. I'm taking care of this toxin. You need to remake yourself so you can deal with these toxins, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So how would you explain to someone when they're, you know, they're talking about inserting, you know, HIV? I mean, you know, people are like, wow, they're doing all this biological, you know, manipulation and stuff. Well, obviously, whatever they did is not seeming to have its intended effect.
Exactly.
You know, stuff in the Wuhan lab, you know. I mean,
I don't buy that. We can talk about that.
Okay. Well, we're coming up on a break. I just wanted to throw it out because certainly that you know comes up. So stay tuned. You're listening to Sally Fallon Morrell on Immunize Wisely.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Broadcasting Network, late night premier show of Red Pill Hardcore, hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Okay, welcome back. So, Sally, you know, we did, you know, touch on, you know, all of these exotic, you know, originations of, you know, COVID-19,
yeah,
right. The Wuhan lab. Do you want to go ahead and just address that quickly?
Well, I just don't buy this. I think certainly they've tried to make deadly viruses. But when you see what the purpose of the virus is and what's in it, I don't think that's possible. And I think it's just trying to blame somebody else, you know. And in the case of the Wuhan theory that this started in a lab in Wuhan, I'd have no doubt that they may have been trying to develop deadly viruses. But I think there's a much better explanation. And I don't think that you can actually make a deadly virus. The viruses are our friends. So I think it's just a lot of anti-Chinese propaganda. Yes.
Well, yeah, I would add to that, you know, I would say viruses are misnamed, that they're exosomes or exosomes, and virus is nothing but poison. And they've been trying to create something that would poison people
Yes.
think would be contagious, but you can't. you know, everyone being exposed to the same amount of pollution, the same 5G would make something appear, as you said earlier, contagious when contagious. It is not everyone gets sick equally. So, well, yeah, you wanted to mention Koch's postulates. Do you want
Yes, Koch's postulates are a way of proving that a bacteria causes a disease. There's four postulates. They all have to be met to prove that a bacteria causes disease. And they've never, ever proven that for any bacteria. Well, then everyone kind of switched attention to viruses, because if it's not bacteria, well, it must be viruses. So there's the Rivers criteria for viruses. And again, they have never been proven either. And though Dr. Kaufman talks a lot about that. So I think people are kind of shocked to learn that science has never been able to prove that a bacteria or a virus causes disease.
Right. Let's just go over those real quick that people are unfamiliar with Koch's postulates. One is to purify the pathogen or the virus from many cases with a particular illness. So you have to actually
Number one is to find it in the sick people.
Right. Right. You have to find it and then be able to actually extract and purify, expose. Then you expose the susceptible humans or animals to that. And you have to verify that the same illness is produced by their exposure to what they isolated effectively. Yeah. And then you have to add that you should,
You take that from the sick person and put it in the well person, and that makes them sick. You have to do all four steps. And that is five or six steps in Rivers. But I think people are very, very surprised to learn that this has never been proven. And yet everything we do today is based on the supposition that you've got these microorganisms that make us sick, that are contagious, that make us look at every person like they're our enemy. When in fact, the things that humans do when they're close together, the hugging and the stroking and the, you know, whatever, scratching backs and all of that is a way of diffusing electricity from the body, and it's good for us and protects us from disease. Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, the human touch is vital. We know that from babies and even, you know, as we get older, we still need the human touch.
We four hugs a day, as my husband says. We need four hugs a day.
Oh, I believe me, I'm all about it. I just read The Languages of Love, you know, as my evening reading. And my sister and I looked at each other. We said, we have the same languages of love. And it's really, the physical touch was huge for us because our parents were not touchy people at all.
Well, in the flu of 1918, they told mothers not to kiss their babies. So... And, you know, there was this whole idea that you shouldn't hug your children, or they'd have these strong sexual urges, and that gave them disease. I mean, all throughout history, I think there have been people who haven't wanted us to hug and kiss and be close to each other. You know, these are very sad people. But that's what humans do. It's normal. It's healthy. And with this latest thing about so-called coronavirus, everyone's now afraid to do that. By the way, these masks that people are wearing, studies have shown that wearing masks actually creates more disease. I think it's because it's so hard to breathe with those masks. And they don't do any good because the best mask there is, the pores are 10 times larger than any virus. So
alleged virus,
exosome, whatever it is. Yeah, I mean, these extremely tiny things. Yeah,
and I also think, you know, I mean, even if you were to believe in the virus thing, I mean, oxygenation is what our cells need. We need more oxygen all the time to raise our pH, to make us healthy. And right now, this particular illness is showing that we're having oxygen deprivation at the cell level.
Exactly. And those masks, when you're breathing in those masks, you're breathing in a lot of carbon dioxide and oxygen. You're breathing oxygen depleted air.
Exactly.
So they're really a bad idea.
I'm with you 100% there on that one, too. Yeah. So, Yeah, and then we have, you had two references to videos. You had Dr. Andrew Kaufman, but you also mentioned Dr. Cameron Kyle Sedell. He was on the front lines in New York City. And there's a couple of doctors that I believe that spoke out, and how he spoke about, you know, them literally grasping for air.
Gasping for air. They turn blue in the end. They are very high levels of very low levels of oxygen in the blood. And he said the respirators, at least the way we use the respirators today, are the very worst thing for these people, and actually can kill them. Now, it's quite interesting. If you're admitted to a hospital for the flu, I think the hospitals get something like $8,000 from Medicare. If you are admitted to the hospital for COVID-19, you get more money. And if you put the person on a respirator, I think it's about $38,000. So there's all kinds of financial incentives to call this COVID-19 and to put people on respirators.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's certainly money. I mean, $39,000, that's three times what they would get if they weren't on a respirator. I think it's $13,000. And then if it's a pneumonia classification, it was like $4,900 or something like that.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, just the money scam is just phenomenal. But, you know, I was actually, I'm speculating a little bit, but, you know, because this is just what I was told, that they're using, the doctors want to use respirators, you know, aside from the money factor, but because they, to protect them from getting the virus.
Yes.
A lot of these doctors actually believe that they are, the patient would possibly infect them.
Of course. Yeah. You know, one really bad thing about hospitals, whether or not they have 5G in them, and now they have ways of putting 5G in buildings now, but is that they're just loaded with electrical equipment. You know, those respirators and the, you know, pulse takers, and you're hooked up to so many machines. They're right by your head. People who are electrically sensitive cannot go into hospitals because it just gives them headaches, makes them anxious. They start coughing. So I think, you know, the best way to take care of people is to have them in a nice retreat without all this electrical stuff, and out in the sun and eating real food. And instead, they're hooked up to electrical machines. They're inside, you know, no natural light, fluorescent lights, and the worst possible food for them.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And another thing, you know, because it's important to discharge this electricity, and so if you're around people that don't want to touch you or hug you or anything like that, it's important to go barefoot outside. We're in the spring.
Yes.
You know, just take a walk in the grass.
Yes. Yes.
And help discharge that electricity that builds up in the body. I think that's important. So, yeah, let's get into, you know, dispelling this whole contagious, why it's so harmful to think of our fellow man as possibly going to contaminate us. I mean, this is really anti-love. To me, humans are created in our soul from love, and we're to express that love to our fellow human beings. And when we're told in a society that expressing love through, you know, touch and, you know, and even speaking words that you can see their mouth and establish eye contact is all of a sudden forbidden, is quite horrifying to me, frankly.
Yes. There was an article in the Washington Post about a mother who was asking, how do I explain to my teenage son why I'm not allowed to hug him? Now, so she's living in this house with her teenage son. They're going to be exchanging those virus exosomes, whatever they are. There's no way they can't. And yet she's told that she shouldn't hug her son. I mean, this is just monstrous.
Right, because people do need – it's a way of affirming love, and love is healing. This is what people need to know, that they're wanted, that they're cared for, that they're appreciated, that they're loved.
This and scientifically, it diffuses excess current in the body, excess electricity.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm just going to read a quick quote. This is one of my favorite quotes from Immunization, The Reality Behind the Myth by Welling James. Liberating ourselves from the nursery of non-think in which blind belief flourishes is to begin the journey not only to freedom, but to maturity. And I read that just because we have so many beliefs that we don't really think about. You know, like, yeah. You know, relying on experts, for instance, instead of, you know, doing our own research, thinking that some things are just too complicated for my little brain.
Yeah, and that we can't figure it out ourselves. You know, what has surprised me is many people reporting this, including myself, I've experienced myself. If you start to question this whole thing with people, they get angry. Now, I think anger is a good thing. It tells me that there's something in their soul that knows it's not right, and this comes out in anger. So I would rather a person get angry with me than just be apathetic and not say anything, okay? But still, it is surprising that people aren't more open to thinking about this differently. It really always does surprise me.
Well, and it's, you know, a foundational belief. And that's really what I have found, because I, you know, I've been in this, you know, movement all my life.
Yeah, yes.
You know, being the daughter of Welling James and the founder of Vaccination Liberation, I'm the one that's, you know, kind of carrying on that torch. So, you know, and it wasn't until I was a young adult that I decided I this is actually really important. You know, I became a young mother and I thought, oh my gosh, this is... Yeah. This is horrifying, you know, being a Lalachi League leader, pushing mother-to-mother breastfeeding, and then I was told, you know, basically I could not mix causes, you know, that it was very important that I don't communicate with our Lalachi League leaders about the truth about vaccines and, you know, these kinds of things, you know.
Well, you know, my book was forbidden in the Lalachi meetings.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, where, you know, you're trying to reach a larger audience and you don't alienate people. And to me, you know, I want to be able to talk about everything. This is what I love about Weston A. Price Foundation. There's no place your organization will not go. And, you know, and I love that, you know, because I question everything, you know. I mean,
well,
I'm
the
not
whole
a
idea, sister, and this, but, you know, this comes back to the diet thing. The reason given to me, and I lost a couple of friends over this, was that if you tell breastfeeding mothers that their diet is important, they may not breastfeed. And my response to that was, hey, this is all about having healthy children. It's not about, you know, being proud that you're breastfeeding. Of course we promote breastfeeding, but we promote the diet that makes the milk the healthiest and will ensure the best experience and the most successful breastfeeding. But anyway, so I just wanted to say a couple of things about diet. Mm-hmm. So, if the cause of this illness, and I'm not denying that there's an illness, that people have gotten really sick and there's been a lot of suffering. I'm not denying that. Mm-hmm. But what can we do to protect ourselves from what I believe is this very harmful excess of electromagnetic radiation that's now coming from these 5G emitters, which are, and you know, the biggest outbreaks have been where they've had the 5G rollout, starting with Wuhan, where they have 10,000 5G emitters in one city. That's more than the whole United States.
Right.
And I think the first thing is to have good, strong cell membranes. So your cells are not impacted too much by this, so that your cells can remain intact. And that means eating the right fats. And the right fats for your cell membranes are saturated animal fats. They have all the components that are in your cell membranes and will help build really strong, healthy cell membranes. One of those components is cholesterol. You need cholesterol for your cell membranes to be waterproof. And I think that also means to be electrical proof, too. So this is where I part company with the invisible rainbow. I think we really need to go back to eating good high-fat diets. Butter and lard are really the best fats for humans, and that's what we should be eating in our diets.
Right. Yeah, I know we have... Yeah, I understand that. You know, we have all kind. I'm sure you have really gone toe to toe with the raw foodist and the purist, and it kind of goes on and on. I understand that.
You know, and there's lots of other things. Fermented foods are very important. Your sauerkraut, yes, for having a good gut flora and for providing really good vitamin C. Minerals, I mean, the gut flora are just extremely important, and that's why you eat your sauerkraut every day, some kind of fermented food with your meals, which is easy and it tastes good.
Yeah. Right. I have a big salad. I always put my sauerkraut with my salad, actually.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I do what I call kimchi. It's like, you know, a combination of a whole bunch of stuff with ginger root, and I make a huge, several batches in the fall, and then by the time August rolls around, I'm out, you know?
and another thing, and you know, I'm the broth lady. I've decided that broth is beautiful, and the broth is basically melted collagen, and that helps create the right types of electrical fields inside your cell by structuring the water inside your cell. So those three things, the saturated fats, the fermented foods, and the broth are kind of the basis of this protective diet.
Right. Yeah. And you know, I know a lot of people that do the broth, and I, as an herbalist, I tend to go for things like horsetail and comfrey, and I'll do all those kind of, you know, vegetarian, vegetable, herbal sources of a lot of those minerals. So what do you think of that? I mean,
I think what you're getting in the broth is, it's actually not a lot of minerals. It's the collagen, which is the structured protein that creates the hydrophilic surfaces in your cells, in your body, and that creates the right type of electric current in your body. So what I would say is put your herbs in your broth. At our farm store, we sell these packages of herbs for making broth, and they have a lot of medicinal herbs or mushrooms or whatever in them.
Right.
So that's the way I do it.
That's interesting because, you know, people do gelatin, you know, for that same reason.
Yeah.
That's the and that's really what you're, I mean, yeah. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a gelatin, the collagen. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Salt is very important because salt is what gives us a different electrical potential on the inside and outside of the cell. So it gives us really good currents through our body. So salt is very important to be healthy. And I do have a theory about why the American Indians succumbed to disease so quickly. And that is because the Spanish had arrived in the Southwest and they disrupted the salt trade. Because there was a salt trade all over America. And there were certain families that didn't belong to tribes, but they just made the salt and carried it. They had these special bowls to evaporate the salt water and everything. And there was a salt trade throughout the North American continent. And that was disrupted by the Europeans coming in.
Huh. Well, they also traded their furs. I mean, early on, they traded furs and other things for sugar and alcohol.
Oh, yes. They say the ships came in carrying goods. Well, I say the ships came in carrying bads. and, you know... They didn't get these diseases right away. It wasn't until their lifestyle had been highly disrupted and the bad foods were coming in that they started having these diseases. Yeah,
exactly. You know, there's the whole myth of the smallpox coming in through blankets. And I just had this, you know, email exchange with someone who I thought knew better, you know, that the bed bugs were the carrier of smallpox.
Well, yeah. I subscribe to that theory, and I don't think it was – the bed bugs were toxic, and they were poisonous. And so there was this doctor in Texas who was able to stop a smallpox epidemic by making people sleep in hammocks so they didn't have blankets. And, of course, the Indians thought that it was coming from the blankets and that it was.
Right.
It was coming from the bed bugs. Yeah.
It was the bed bugs. And, you know, because that was an early remedy, they would go into a house that where there are lots of smallpox cases and they would put formaldehyde on the stove. And it wasn't enough to kill the people, but it was enough to kill the bed bugs.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I know that they in the South, they sprayed kerosene on the mattresses.
Oh, God, yeah. Just one poison after another, huh?
You know, the washing machine is really, you know, one of the greatest inventions in the world because it allows you to keep your sheets clean and your mattresses and, yeah.
Right, so. And free of all these little critters.
Yes,
but,
right.
But, you know, where people, you know, this was true in England, you know, where they started doing sanitary reforms and they went ahead and... anyway, had, you know, better ventilation. They had windows,
yes,
you know, and just all of that kind of stuff. You know, and, you know, more fruits and vegetables, more sunshine.
Yeah, better diet, And their houses.
The bed bugs weren't really, you know, you could get bitten by the bed bug and it wasn't bad as long as you had your nutrition.
Yes.
You know.
And you didn't get bitten too much. It was when you got bitten several times. And it's interesting, the flea, which is accused of carrying disease, the flea wouldn't survive in those northern climates, but the bed bug could survive. The bed bug could survive right up into Iceland, and they hibernated over the winter and so forth.
Right. Wow, we could talk on and on about this.
We
fascinating. You know, because
whatever the cause of smallpox, the solution is the same, and that's cleanliness.
Right. No. Absolutely. I totally agree. It's always the same, you know. You know, just basic hygiene as well as a good diet is going to lead the way.
Good diet and then, you know, living a happy life. And all these people in lockdown are not living a happy life. It's very, very sad.
Well, and the stress, their financial stress. I'm very concerned about the generation just below you and me.
Yes.
You know, I mean, our children and our grandchildren, I mean, that level of financial stress, you know, they're living paycheck to paycheck. If they have a restaurant or they work in a restaurant, they don't have a job, then they're waiting for some. And, you know, it wouldn't be so bad if we had, you know, better extended families, but that's been disrupted. And we have many people doing all of the communications through. I'm not sure. I was getting some feedback, but just doing all their communication through social media, their phones. There's not the human contact and the group get-togethers in person that we used to have. So I don't feel like there's a good safety net for all of these people that are kind of just, you know, all of a sudden wake up one day and there's these stay-at-home orders and they're just not prepared for it.
Yeah. We've got some Sally's joined the meeting here.
Yes. Hi, Sally.
Hi. Uh-oh.
Well, I think she's here. Maybe now
it shows it's muted again.
Hi.
There you go.
Hello?
There you go. Yeah.
Hi.
Hi there, Sally Fallon. Just terrific to hear you, and you make so much sense, and you've hit every point. And there's one thing, hi, Angry. There's one thing that you said that I just cannot believe. You were saying that comets disrupt the atmosphere and couldn't.
Yes.
Well, we're about to. I mean, Comet Atlas is coming right by.
Really?
April 29th, yes.
Oh my goodness. So I have
we have a break now. Oh my gosh. So thank you, Sally, so much for coming on, Sally Fallon.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. It was a fantastic show. I'm going to share the archive with a lot of people. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, Sally.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Truth, truth.